Thank you, William. Thank you for the singing, brother. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be here this wonderful Sunday morning. If you're wondering what's wrong with my voice, don't ask the men at the men's breakfast. They told me I just hit puberty. But I got a little bit of a cold, okay? That's what's going on. So they like to give me a hard time, and it's awesome. When I told them that I'll be preaching today as well, they said that they'll be going somewhere else. So I love my brothers. I tell you, we have a great time at the men's breakfast. It's amazing. This morning, we're going to study from John chapter 12. It's a wonderful book. It's a beautiful book and an encouraging book. And I would like to do something this morning. I would like to start with a joke, but I think I already did that. But unintentionally, yesterday, there was a funeral for Miss Ola Ulrich. She was a wonderful lady. If you didn't get a chance to meet her, she was amazing. She was such an encouragement to me, especially. Yesterday, I remember a story that happened with me and her as I was visiting her at one point. I came and knocked in her apartment. She was a lot older. She was new in the area, and she couldn't hear very well. So when I knocked, and I said, "Miss Ola, this is David Durantes. May I come in?" I could hear some mumble in the back, and nothing happened. So I knocked again, and I hear the mumble, and I thought, well, I'll open the door just a tad bit and then just project my voice. And so I did that. I opened the door, and I said, "Miss Ola Ulrich, this is David Durantes. May I come in?" And all I heard was, "What?" I did that about 4 or 5 times. And then I decided to change my strategy. I said, "Miss Ola, this is David Durantes. May I come in?" And just before I said, "Come in," she said, "Come in, David." So my strategy today is to speak slowly and loudly, okay? If I speak too fast, you may not understand the lesson this morning. So that's my strategy for today. John chapter 12, it's about, it's a beautiful chapter because it's just right after, let me get closer. It's just right after the resurrection of Lazarus. And it's something that is very important that happened in those events that Jesus stresses in this situation that is very important for us to know and to understand. And we're going to start actually in verse 20 of John chapter 12. There is a situation that happened here with some Greeks that came and asked for Jesus. This is not a tough question. This is not a hard question. The question was, can we see Jesus? Can we see the master? And as you can see, the disciples start wandering around thinking, is this allowed? Can we do this? Can they request that? It's not a tough question. So somebody wants to pass the bucket. They want to pass the question, the responsibility to someone else, which I do oftentimes, which we do oftentimes. When a kid will say, "Can I have candy?" The answer is, ask mom. Right? So we pass the bucket around in many of those occasions. It's the same thing. Sometimes ask dad, it will come to that. But before we go to that, before we go to deeper into that question, I want to ask you this question. Are you growing? Are you growing as a Christian? Are you growing as a person? Is your Christian faith the same level or the same way it was when you started, when you got baptized 10 years ago? 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Is your faith growing or are you still the same? And for that reason as well, if you're growing, are you producing fruit? What fruit have you produced? What fruit have we produced? Those are very important questions that we need to answer. But we cannot pass that bucket around. We cannot pass that question to someone else. That's a question that we ourselves need to answer. So, we avoid, in a lot of occasions, those tough questions. My wife gave me a book recently, which is called The Talk. And it covers a lot of things that men need to talk with their boys. I got through the second chapter, and I had to put it down. Because trying to bring those conversations is tough. The book apparently will make it easier on how to approach those things later on. But the tough questions sometimes, do you feel the same way or is it only me? That the tough questions, we try to avoid them. Let's look at those two examples in the book of Genesis about avoiding tough questions and how it happened and what happened when we avoid those questions. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, that's the situation with Adam. After the ate of the fruit, God said, "Where are you?" You know what was his answer? None. There was no answer. What they did, they hid. They went somewhere else. And then the second time that God came to them, that's when they told him, "We hid because we were afraid." You see, they avoided a question that they knew that they didn't want to answer because they knew what they had done. They knew that there were consequences and they knew that something was going to happen. And so therefore, what they did is that they avoided the question, "Where are you?" In this situation, God said, "I'm disappointed at you. This is what's going to happen to you now." But he avoided that question. The second situation is in the book of Genesis again, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And that's the story of Cain and Abel. When Cain, this evil man, this corrupted man, killed his brother for no good reason except that he had evil in his heart. God came to him and said, "Where is your brother?" He didn't answer the question to "Where is your brother?" He didn't say, "He's in the field. He's dead. I killed him." No, his answer was, "Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to do something about him? Do I supposed to know where he is at all times?" You see, that is the problem. He avoided the tough question. And God is asking us a question. We have a question to answer. Are you growing? If you are not growing, why not? Are you producing fruit? And if you're not producing fruit, why not? Those are tough questions to answer that we need to answer ourselves. Because we can make excuses. We can say anything that we want to avoid answering why we are not doing that. Hopefully, today I'll be able to help you cover through that. Now we're going to go to John. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 26. The Bible says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast." This is the big feast of the Passover. "Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida." It's interesting that the name Philip is also a Greek name. So the Greeks didn't go to Peter, to Cephas. They didn't go to John. They went to Philip, who had a Greek name. And then he says, "And began to ask him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Verse 22, "Philip came and told Andrew." Andrew and Philip came to and told Jesus. You see, the question came to Philip. He didn't know what to answer. He didn't know what to do. So he went to Andrew, who is also another Greek name. And then that's when they together went to Jesus. This situation here will make you see that when you have a tough question that you're having a hard time answering, this is who you need to see. You need to see Jesus. You need to grab a friend to go with you and see Jesus. It is so important for us, especially as Christian men and women, that we arm ourselves, that we strengthen ourselves, that we get courage to do the things that we are asked to do. Jesus says here in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Okay, they told him, "Some Greeks want to see you," and his answer is, "My hour has come, and the Son of Man is about to be glorified." Did he avoid the question? Did he answer something different to the disciples? Think about that for a second. Did Jesus just answer something that wasn't the question that he was asked? Oh no, he did. This is why he did it. In verse 24, "Truly, truly." Before we get into the text, what Jesus was talking about here was about his death. What was going to happen to him very soon because of the resurrection of Lazarus, because he came back to Bethsaida, because he was on the road to Jerusalem, because he was about to enter the city on which he was about to die. This is why he's answering this question. He is talking about his death. And then he says, "Truly, truly, this is what I mean." Truly, truly means This is the truth. This is the way things are. This is what I mean when I tell you whatever he's going to say. This is the way things are. How are things? Number one, unless. Unless is something that is not going to happen. Unless. It's a requirement. This is a requirement for everything that you want to happen. Unless. You can think of many examples. I can think of many examples in my life that word came in handy. Unless. Unless what? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. A grain of wheat. A grain of wheat. So simple, so small. If you leave it in the sun, it gets hardened. And that's it. It just gets hardened by time. Nothing happens to it. Unless that grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. Dying has to happen for that grain of wheat. Dying has to happen for that grain of wheat to grow and to produce. Why is Jesus using the word here or the plant for wheat? The most essential thing at that time was bread and flour. Where do those things came from? Right there. Wheat. Something very essential, something very important. You see? Anything that is important in our lives, anything that is important to you, is right here. Unless you die, it's not going to happen. Unless you die, this is not going to happen for you. Because if you don't, it will remain alone. It's not loneliness, but it will remain alone. But if it dies, it produces a lot of fruit. It needs to die. A lot of times, when I find myself struggling with something, it's because I haven't let it die. And I'm pretty sure it's the same way for many of us who struggle with so many things because we haven't let it die. We're still struggling with it because we haven't let it go. Forgiveness is one of those things. Forgiveness is one of those things that if you don't let it go, it will come and haunt you time after time, and it will depress you, and it will cause you anxiety, and it will make your life miserable because we have not forgiven. In the same way with sin, when we don't let sin die in our body, when we don't let ourselves be dead to sin, like the book of Romans chapter 6 says, that we need to be dead to sin, then that's when we have troubles with our Christianity. We have troubles with every area of our spiritual life because we haven't let it die. We haven't buried it. It's still there. Jesus says, unless you kill it, unless you bury it, it will not die. Our bodies, this body that we have right now, if it's still struggling with sin, it's because we have not let it die. See, this is why I wanted to teach about this. When I was reading this, actually, I was in, I don't remember which flight I was in. I was in an airplane when I was reading this. And, you always think, what happens if I would die right now, if this plane were to go, you know? Crazy things go through your mind when you're flying. But I was reading that. And I thought, this is interesting. What happens when I don't die to myself in this world? What happens if I find an excuse to say, I'm struggling with this and this is my struggle and that's okay. What happens if I don't kill sin in my body? Is that going to be okay? If the seed don't die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces a lot of fruit. And that's what we want. We want to produce a lot of fruit. How do we do that? How do we produce fruit that will be glorifying God? How do we produce fruit that will honor God? How do we produce fruit that is the fruit of the Spirit? How can we do that when we are struggling with sin? You know how? Get rid of sin. Get rid of that sin in your life. Yeah, but it's easy for you to say, No, it's not. Because one thing that we need to do, that we need to remember, is that as Christians, we have raised our standards. We have to raise our standards as Christians. We cannot be conformed to the same things that we have been doing all of our lives and expect for us to grow spiritually. We cannot continue to watch the same things, to hear the same things, and continue to think that this is how we're going to change. It's not going to happen. What will happen is that you have to die. You either die in this world or you die in the next one. You see, the motivation is there. When our why becomes so powerful of why we need to do things, the how becomes very easy. When our why is strong enough of what we believe, how we do it is very easy. Why come to church? When you find a strong reason why, the how becomes very easy. Why come to Bible class? When you find the how becomes very easy. Why come to evening service? When you find out the how becomes very easy. Why save souls? When you find the why, you get the point? The how becomes very easy. Why do you need to grow? When you find out that why, how you do it, it becomes very easy. What the Lord is doing here, he's telling us why we need to die. Look at the next verse. Verse 20:5. He who loves this life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. This is why you do it. There is an eternal life. And I know I'm bringing the funeral because it's fresh in my mind, but Miss Ola always told me these two things. Always look up. And Bill Crane was there with me all the time, and she always said this: always look up, never look down. And she always said too, right after that, she will say, I know the Lord is always with me, and I can't wait. Can't wait to see him. That's amazing. That's amazing for a 93-year-old lady to be thinking about, this is what I'm looking forward to. See, heaven is what we're looking forward to. That is my why. Being with Jesus, that is my why. Why we do what we do, why we abstain from the things that we abstain, why we work how we work, why we do what we do, why we are here today. That is our why. That is my why. He is my why. And because he is powerful enough, and because he is strong enough, my how becomes very easy. Where is no point, is no struggle, it is not even a debate for me to be here on Sunday morning or to be in the Lord's church on Sunday morning. And any time that I can, and any time that I'm able, and any time that I find an excuse, I will be here. We will be here. You see, the Lord has taught us something very important, that our why needs to be stronger than this world. If you love your life, you will lose it. I'm sorry about that. I got to change the fonts on that. If you hate it, you will keep it. If you love it this much, if you love more this world than anything, you will lose it. This is kind of like a contradiction, but it's actually the truth. You see, the truth, truth is so important because it's like surgery. We don't want it. We don't want to go through it. And it's painful. And it hurts. But you know what? After it, the pain passes by, guess what? You feel so much better, don't you? That's what the truth does. The truth is, you can answer this question, why are you not growing? Why are you not producing fruit? It's painful to talk about that. But once you talk about it, once you chew on it a little bit, you know what's going to happen? You're going to feel much better because now you have the answer to your question. Let's go to verse 26, and we're going to finish with this. If anyone serves me, that's what that says. If anyone serves me, what does he need to do? in verse 26. He must follow me. You know what is so different here? What is so interesting? That this is not follow me and serve me. Look at the order. If anyone serves me, must follow me. Doesn't that seem a little bit different than the order in which Jesus has given us things in the Gospels? Because now he's talking to a different audience. He's talking to an audience that has committed themselves to follow, to serve him, who has committed themselves to say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve Jesus. But the follow here is very interesting because it's a different word. This word is follow closer. Follow me means get near. Get nearer. Yes, you're in the group. Have you had a group of kids, especially in teachers in high school? The kids in elementary school, they're following pretty close. They're all in one line. And then all of a sudden, guess what? There is that one that starts touching the wall and starts falling behind. Right? And what happens? Hey, get in line. That doesn't mean that he's not, you know, it's like get closer, get nearer. What Jesus is saying here to us is that you are already serving me. Get nearer. Get closer. Why? Because where I am, there my servant will be also. Why do you need to get closer to Jesus? Because that's where you will be. There is your why. Tonight in the lesson for this evening, it's going to be the what. What can we do once you get closer to Jesus? But this morning, what I want to emphasize is why you need to do that. Find that, brothers and sisters. Find out why you need to do this, why you need to be here. And it's not just about attendance. In the men's breakfast yesterday, we covered very quickly that just being a church is not what is going to save you. Just being here in the pew is not going to save you. God is calling us for more than that. And we need to produce fruit. We will be with him. That's the reason why. We will receive honor from him as well. And I'm going to finish. This is my last slide. If you want to be useful, you must die. That is the way things are. Truly, truly. If you want to be useful in the Lord's kingdom, you must die to self. If you want to grow, you must die to self. If you want to gain eternal life, you must die to self. If you want to be with Jesus, you must die to self. That is the way things are. No matter what, so this is the message. That's why Jesus uses that word, and he doesn't use it very often. He uses it sparingly to teach people a very strong lesson. Truly, truly, I want you to Google it. I want you to do a study on it. If you get a chance, when you get a chance, find where Jesus uses this word and you will find your why. You will find a lot of whys. Truly, truly, this is the way things are. We cannot be with him if we don't die. My invitation for you this morning, brothers and sisters, is yes, to die. But it's also a strong commitment. And that's a commitment that doesn't come with your mind that says, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Because you know how many tomorrows we have. You know why we extend an invitation? Because an invitation, let me give you a little bit more of a why. An invitation encourages you to have the courage to stand in front of your brothers and sisters, in front of your family, to show them, I need to get better at this. I need to work harder on this. And we don't work harder on something unless we make a commitment for people to see. Because that's why I haven't started that chair that I said I would do 20 years ago. That's why my garden keeps on dying after working in the yard for 2 hours and I haven't even finished planting it. Because if people don't know about it, it's easy for our minds to say, I don't have to do it. But when you walk and you let people see, this is what I'm working on, you do it. That's why we extend an invitation. We extend an invitation for you to come in, to come here, to come forward, so that we can help you, so that we can be with you. And let me just say one more thing. I know I'm a preacher. I'm sorry. When somebody comes forward, don't let them come alone. Don't let them come alone. If they are your family, if they are your friends, or if you don't know them and you want to get to know them, come with them. Okay? That is the last thing I'm going to say. Because we are not alone in this world. And if the invitation is for you today, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.